Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey everybody, welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your Chief Lounge Lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. Hang on to your hats, because I got Neil and Todd as our guests today, and a controversial topic. Oh my god.
Seems like you always want to bring me in when there's controversy.
I don't mean to laugh, Todd, but yeah, I do.
Go ahead and laugh. I mean, it's pretty ironic.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, Todd, with us being here, this is like the gin arguing Olympics going on.
Yeah, I mean, suddenly I feel like I'm on the Escapist. Oh, wait.
Well, Todd, you know, you're good for ratings. What can I say? So anyway, the topic we're going to talk about, we should announce the topic before we just start arguing. So who is better, Captain Picard? No, I'm just kidding. The topic actually, Neil, it was your idea for a show. We're going to talk about DLCs and special editions of games. And basically the idea is, you know, are they worth it? You know, and how can companies make it worth it? And how do companies screw us over when we buy DLCs that aren't what they were supposed to be? But Neil, it was your idea for this show. So why don't you give us the background, your story about your friend and how you came up with the idea for the show?
Absolutely. Back when I worked in my blue collar days, I was working in a factory, a distribution center to be exact. I was having idle chatter with a guy next to me, and he brought up, because Skylanders were still pretty new at the time, he brought up that would they ever do something like that for adults? And I thought about it, and that's when it hit me, they already do in the form of DLC. The main difference is that children have to hold something, you know, show their friends, show their mom, look what I got this pretty dragon statue. Adults don't need that that physical touch, that handheld gratification. They can just call their buddy and go, hey man, I got this new Call of Duty map pack, or I got this special gun from pre-ordering this game. So in all actuality, we do have Skylanders for adults. It's just not a physical thing up until the Amiibos came out recently.
Right. And I know, Todd, you're definitely into the Amiibos, and we can get into that some as well. As well as we'll probably have you explain them just a little bit, because I know not everybody collects them. I know they're mostly they're well, obviously they're Nintendo players and stuff like that, but you can explain kind of how they work. They kind of work a little bit like the Skylanders stuff, except for they kind of like do their own thing after they're plugged in. But I'll let you describe it. But let's get into it. So DLC. Now, Neil, I know what you're saying on the DLC. I don't buy a whole lot of DLC because I really like single player games, and it seems like to me a lot of the DLC these days does stuff to the multiplayer aspects of games, and I don't play a lot of multiplayer. And I think that is probably because, not why I don't play it, but I mean, I think the reason a lot of them are multiplayer, I think it goes back to, Todd, I know you hate MMOs, but it's that MMO mentality where I'm walking around this MMO and I've got a really cool hat that nobody else in the whole freaking game has, or, you know, very few people have. And it makes me feel cool because everybody looks at me and goes, damn, where did you get a hat like that, man? I wish I was that cool. So, you know, maybe that goes back to my high school when that never happened. Yeah. I don't know.
But if you look back at it, I mean, like when I pre-ordered Fear 3, yes, I'm digging Fear 3 out of the vault for this one. Wow. As a pre-order, you got a special rifle, you got it's a special magnum, it's a special pistol, and like a special outfit and a something else, I think it was extra experience. So you had the extra revolver you could walk around with and start blowing things away like your Clint Eastwood. Fallout New Vegas, when I pre-ordered that, you got a special pistol, special armor set, you know, stuff for your campaign mode. The problem with that nowadays is almost every game is almost, if not multiplayer only, it might as well be multiplayer only. It's the Call of Duty mentality of no one's really going to play this game with single player. I mean, come on, who buys Evolve or Titanfall for the single player? So they just put all the stuff like map packs and weapon skins and stuff that's aesthetic and completely, in my mind, utterly pointless.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you bring up some interesting points. I guess maybe as an industry, we should kind of look at DLC as two different kinds of DLC, because, like, well, you brought up Fallout New Vegas. That's a Bethesda published title. I mean, Obsidian made it, but basically it's Bethesda's baby. Bethesda, they were one of the, they came out when they started doing DLCs, and Todd, you remember, the first DLC they came out was Armor, which was absolutely ridiculous, worthless. Even they, when you talk to them like at conventions and stuff, if you bring up Horse Armor, they'll kind of laugh. They know that was ridiculous, because, I mean, it wasn't even a costume for your character. It was basically a costume for your horse, which, yeah, it was stupid. It was worthless. But now, when they come out with DLC, they come out with, you know, whole new adventures. I mean, there was like four of them for Skyrim, and they were all pretty awesome. Oh, there were only three?
Dragonborn,
okay.
Dawnguard, and Hearthfire. Even though Hearthfire was pretty much just a construction kit.
Yeah, Hearthfire was the one where you built the house, right? Yeah, yeah. I like that one. I know there wasn't much adventure in it, but I did kind of like being able to build my own house.
And that's the thing about games like Skyrim. I mean, they go back to the old PC mentality of DLC, or back then when they used to be called expansion packs. Instead of just being able to download to buy something meaningless like probably a skin for a character, or like you said, the horse arm, which pretty much is a skin.
Mm-hmm. And I know when Todd and I were talking before the show as well, I think a lot of it also comes down to the timing of DLC. Because if it's like 3-4 months after the game, it's kind of like, sure, I can get some old used to have a game I might have traded in. But and not to keep beating on a dead horse again, Evolve, day one DLC to get a fourth monster and some skins.
Yeah.
It's that just infuriated me, because you're already paying $60 for a game that shouldn't even be paid for with 20s. And, I mean, why would I spend an extra $20 to get one monster just to play a game that has the fun equivalent of sticking my hand in a garbage disposal?
Or pretty much waste $80 to buy the whole, what they call the digital deluxe pack.
I mean, I could entertain myself more by throwing snowballs at my neighbors than spending $80 playing this game. And the fact that they find this passable is what infuriates me more, that they say, no, this isn't bad. I heard even Borderlands 2, I think it was either Borderlands 2 or the pre-sequel did it as well, Day 1 DLC, which is infuriating, because why couldn't you just put that on a disc? It's not like you developed this afterwards, you already had it there, you're purposely doing that for more money.
And I could jokingly say that it's not just for the day or for the expansions, but also get ready for the eventual HD remakes that are going to come out. Borderlands being an example.
Yeah.
That'll be another topic, though. I may be interested in discussing that one.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Is it your opinion that all day one DLC is basically screwing over players? Is there any situation where a day one DLC would be something that you guys would think was okay? Or has there been any day one DLCs that you thought were worth it or worthwhile?
None that I know of.
Neil, anything?
With day one DLC, I mean, the only way I look at it is order bonuses, but even still, most of the time, the only way I'd actually get day one DLC if it was free, why not? But, if you got some of the, most of the pre-order bonuses, I could think of that. Worth it weren't actually, they were physical stuff. Like Gears of War did an amazing job with it. Gears 3, how you could buy the one that had the special limited case with the cog in it.
Oh, I see. So, well, then we're kind of back to physical product almost in that particular case. But
special editions like that, I usually don't count as day one DLC.
Right, right. Well, they're giving you something different. I mean, I've seen that. I haven't gotten one for a while. I got one. I'm trying to think. That might have been a Bethesda thing too, where I got something and it came with a little statue or something like that. You know, and that's kind of cool. I mean, that's neat. If you wanna pay the extra few dollars and get it, I could see that more than like a hat or something.
Yeah, but I mean, DLC. I mean, even with single player DLC, I'm not seeing anything that would really justify me spending extra money. Because like with Fear 3, that you didn't pay extra for that. It was if you pre-ordered it from GameStop. Oh, hey, you got the revolver. Good for you. If not, it's not really going to change your gameplay experience.
Yeah.
Right, right. And Todd, I guess you would agree with that. Then is there? I guess So the day one DLC where you have to buy it is kind of never good. But I guess you don't mind if you buy it at Walmart, you get a special thing.
Well, not
like
always, because it could also give the single player experience. Good example is L.A. Noire. When they used to give, like I know the PS3 version got an exclusive campaign. The Walmart version got an exclusive case. I mean, I don't know they were eventually made available as purchase afterwards. But still, I mean, that's basically saying if you don't get this version, you're pretty much playing a gimped version of your game. And you don't get...
Oh, you know, that's true. Watch Dogs did that. The Watch Dogs had a whole campaign that was only available on the
Watch
PlayStation,
Dogs did
I believe.
That. Assassin's Creed 4 did that. They did the, what they call the Aveline missions. I mean, this is one thing I've been criticizing companies for the last few years. You know, aside from, of course, making an advertise like they're exclusive to PlayStation, which is a complete lie.
I actually thought I wanted to, I saw an Evolve commercial that implied it was only available on Xbox.
They did that with Evolve. They did it with Dragon Age Inquisition. I know.
Wait.
It's almost like a 4-to-1 ratio of PlayStation to Xbox where you see that stuff.
I know, but when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Todd's going to put a column together. They're implying it's Xbox only.
I'm not going to say that. Yes, I know. Here we go. Todd's an Xbox. He's going to defend my M-dollar sign. No, I've seen it happen, and I do agree with it. Call of Duty's a perfect example of that.
I'm not sure if I missed the memo. Did I walk into the right show? Are we doing DLC or are we doing Hate Evolve? I mean, I'm game for both, but...
Just because Evolve was advertised for Xbox One, I still did not like the game. And it's not just because I play it on PS4.
No, I know why you don't like Evolve. Because me and you have something in common, is that we have standards.
Aside from I found who developed the game. Left 4 Dead.
Well, you know what? But you know what? Left 4 Dead at least had a single player mode.
So
you know,
dull.
Yeah, I know. It was basically running from point A to point B.
New game show idea. Calling it.
Yeah, we have that called Hunger Games.
Let's talk about these Limbos, because Iambo, yeah. How does it pronounce that?
Amiibo.
Amiibo, like amoeba, but amiibos. Yes. They're like male amoebas.
They added on to the Mii concept of Nintendo's architecture.
Gotcha. Now, the original premise of the game, Neil was talking about how Skylanders were for adults. But the amiibos are kind of – I almost had it right – are kind of like
they're,
that,
yeah, they're
though,
like
right?
Skylanders are like Disney Infinity.
Right. So they have like a gateway, and you put them on this gateway, and then they transport themselves into your
sort
games?
I like to think of them sort of as like an exclusive memory card for certain games.
Okay.
Well, I'll do it. I'll take my Mario, which is one of those I have out of the box, and I'll just put it on the NFC portal on either my Wii U controller or on my 3DS. I admit, I haven't tried it on the 3DS yet. And what it'll do is it'll read the information from the NFC chip on the figure. Usually it holds like one save file per figure. In my case, it would be for Smash Brothers.
Okay.
It'll say the character that I'm like building up. The character's supposed to be built up to level 50, and I could train him as if I want to fight him. I could train him as an ally or train him as an opponent.
Now how do you train him?
I fight him.
So you put him and how does he get into the game? Is there a gateway or do you hook him? How do you hook him into the game?
I say just connect him to the screen on your 3DS or the NFC portal on your controller. It'll pick up as almost like it's a character.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so now you put him in the game, and he's a level 1 to start off with, and then you can fight him, and he becomes – he raises up. So does it work with any game, or which games does it work with?
I know it works with Smash Brothers. It's going to work with Mario Party 10 when it comes out, and we'll get to that in a bit because there's a little rant I got to go off with that. It works with Hyrule Warriors. It works with Mario Kart 8.
Gotcha. But stuff, okay.
Games
okay,
like so Mario Kart 8 and Hyrule Warriors, though, it just unlocks special costumes and weapons to be used. So it kind of is like DLC.
It is, but the difference is that once you buy this figure, you are able to unlock that particular related DLC on a whole slew of games. And you only pay for that once, basically to buy the
Pretty
figure.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what you do is, I don't know, I haven't tried my Mario figure on other games, because like I said, you can only have one NFC save file per amiibo. So I don't know if I can connect that to Mario Kart 8, and it would still unlock the Mario race suit for that, or use my Link one to get some more weapons for Hyrule Warriors.
Right. Well, see, that to me sounds pretty cool. That sounds like a worthwhile investment. How much do these
Well, they're supposed to cost about $12 per figure.
Okay.
But that's a whole different story. I've been reading my columns.
Right, right. So what's now this kind of gets into the whole DLC thing. So what's happening with you and your amiibos?
The challenge is trying to collect them.
Huh. And why is that?
Because they are very rare in stock. I mean, you can go to Best Buy and you can probably pick up what I consider the common figures like Mario or Link. I'm just trying to think what else. I know I've seen a lot of Donkey Kongs. I'm looking at my figures right now as my reference.
Right.
Bowser is on what's considered Wave 3, and he's of that series, he's the most common figure. Mm-hmm. But there are those that have come out. Like in the first wave, we had the Wii Fit Trainer, Villager from Animal Crossing, and what's the other one? Villager. Oh, Marth from the Fire Emblem series.
Okay.
They were very limited. Nintendo did not expect them to be so heavily coveted. And they kind of ran out of stock on that, and they're almost impossible to find in stores. The only way to find them is to go. I was recommended to try Amazon, and I was able to find Wii Fit Trainer on there, even though it's a European version, and it's being mailed to me from Germany. That's what's taking so long to get here. A U.S. Wii Fit Trainer goes for about $75 to $100.
Wow. Just because they didn't make enough of them.
Yeah. The Villager, $125.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when I was at MAGFest, there were resellers that were selling even the basic figures for at least $25.
And so that's kind of like giving, and that what that does is then that gives you, when you buy it, that gives you the ability to unlock all of those DLCs that are tied to that
figure.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your problem with it? I mean, what's the deal? Is it because the stock is
rare? I mean, after the other two, I started just collecting them because I like the figures. I like the packaging, the way they were done. Not a big fan of the packaging they're using for the Super Mario series, which is supposed to be coming out. But I love the design for the Smash Bros. Line.
Well, I saw your picture, the picture that you have. By the way, you got to send me that new picture that I can put up so people can see your.
I put a link to it at the end of the as a comment in the in my latest column. It should be there.
Okay. I'll take a look. So the packaging, it's a square box or whatever. Are you able to get the figure out and play with it and keep the packaging pristine?
No, I'm pretty much keeping them mint in package. Although my Yoshi is – this is one other thing that resellers are trying to find a way to scalp people with. My Yoshi is considered loose in package. What that means is I can shake him around, and the bottom of the NFC is shielded. So you can't use it in the packaging. But I could turn it around and be able to use Yoshi on my controller if I have him facing on its side.
So they don't want you to use them inside the package.
I guess it's to protect the value of the item.
Okay. All right. Wow. So how do you play with your Mario and everything?
This is before I start collecting. I got a Mario and a Samus that I ripped out of the package and started using them. I might buy another one and have it sealed and use those two just for when I play.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow, that's tricky. Oh, that would piss me off.
But
though,
I started making it a nice investment, even though, like I said, it's really not becoming fun to collect. I mean, I know people like collect Star Wars figures and all. This is my turn.
Right. No, I got you. That makes sense. And it sounds like, they're going up in value if you're ever going to sell them, I guess.
Look at my characters. Like Pit from Kid Icarus, $50. Donkey Kong's normal. Diddy Kong for about 25. Rosalina, which is a Target exclusive, that's going for like at least $100.
Yeah.
Wow. So most of these figures, like I said, I mean, they're going to go up in value, but I'm not going to be like that guy who hate bought 100 Rosalinas just to sell them. There's people that are notorious for that stuff. And I could write a column about the whole Apple Watch situation because that's going to happen again.
But getting back to the whole DLC situation, I think another problem that we're having is that DLC added onto a good game is nice. You know, it's fun. Okay, I can, you know, I can refresh my game a little bit. But the problem is they're expecting DLC, you to buy DLC to make a bad game barely passable. And that's just – DLC is not an excuse for laziness or creative incompetence. I don't care what company you are. I don't care if you're Warner Bros., Bethesda.
It's not just DLC. It's just patching in general too.
Right. I mean, rather than rush a game out and then come out with random stuff to buy for next year, take an extra 6 months, put it all in the game. People like me, people like Todd, we'll be happy because we can tell you put the effort into it, as opposed to, this will sell. If not, we'll sell some DLC later so someone will buy it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, let me ask you guys each this then. So, what are some examples of good DLC? And I know we've already talked about Bethesda putting out, you know, like Todd was saying, it's kind of the PC mentality, I guess. It's more of an expansion pack. The DLCs generally that they put out for their, at least for their role playing games, the DLCs that come out, you know, add new adventures to the game, new areas, you know, expansion. We got to go to Morrowind, or in one of that was a huge expansion. I mean, that was practically like its own game, you know. So I mean, that's pretty cool. I like that. But what can people do short of that to make it a worthwhile you know, for your money in DLC? And do you have any examples of stuff that has done that you were happy with DLCs that you bought?
What they call a standalone expansion. A good example would be Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Okay.
Basically, take the whole concept of Far Cry 3 and give it a complete facelift, or make it a total conversion, make that turn into that 80s theme, which looked like something from a real bad Terminator-style movie, and you got yourself a winner. Bethesda's going to be doing that later this year because they're releasing the a standalone expansion for Wolfenstein.
Yeah, the was it Bill Guard, I think, or something like that. Oh, Blood, yeah, that's right.
Considering how much I loved the New Order.
Yeah, I did too. It didn't do as well as I thought it would do. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the blockbuster that Neil was talking about that in another
better,
game.
Because it is a freaking amazing game.
Yeah, Todd, what were you saying about Titanfall?
Titanfall is kind of making up for it because they're adding some extra features. Like they've added like a generator defense mode that I was able to try out that I don't think was part of any season pass. Though I'll admit I did purchase the Titanfall season pass when it went down for $10. But, I mean, stuff like that, it did kind of add to it. It didn't keep my interest longer than I expected, but, I mean, at least it's a good touch. But there's other games like Watch Dogs that people have just completely thrown under the bus. I know I have.
My issues is when – I mean, maybe it comes down to also – philosophical reasons is when you ask the average gamer why they bought DLC. Why did you buy that Call of Duty season pass? They're like, oh, it cost $15. I said, I didn't ask how much it cost. Why did you buy it? They're like, three new levels and a new zombie mode. And my friend bought it. I'm like, so justifies $15, and you just get stuck in a loop. Well, it's only $15. And it's like you're kind of missing the point here, turning to that grouchy old man. But
Well, Todd, you had an interesting point. The season passes, which seems like if you like DLC and you're like, okay, I want to have a nice hat and coat and all that stuff, in addition to new levels, buy the season pass. But Todd, you were saying that some of the season passes that are coming out don't even include all the DLCs now.
No, example, I'm a big WWE fan, and I got the season pass for 2K15, thinking I was going to get all the wrestlers that come out. Today there was an NXT Arrival Pack, which is the one I've been waiting for since the whole thing announced, because their NXT minor league franchise is actually better than the real WWE. It was not part of the season pass.
Now, did they explain why, or?
Nope, it just had a list as buy now, $6.99.
That so sucks. And how much did you pay for the season pass?
I think
pass?
It was $25, and it was like four packs for that, plus some campaigns.
Oh, do you think you got your money's worth, or do you think you got screwed?
Well, considering how long the campaigns last on this, I'd say it was okay. But then they added another element where one character was exclusive if you bought the season pass itself. So again, they're trying to bait you with one character.
Yeah, yeah. The one of the worst offenders for forcing you to buy DLC in previous, which I'm glad to see they didn't do it this time, was Dragon Age. The most recent Dragon Age. I understand there were other things you could buy, you know, and things like that. But the original ones. I don't know, Todd, if you remember this. I don't know if you played them long enough to remember it, but Neil, you played the original ones, I think. But there were times where you would be walking through a forest, and you'd see a guy get shot with arrows, and you'd walk up to him, and he'd be like, "This is the missing prince from this land, and if you want to save his life and go on this quest, you have to buy the DLC."
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
and you know what happened? I sat there. What? I had my character stand there, look deep into his eyes, and go, "Sorry, buddy," and walk off.
I did too. I did. I was like, "What the f? You're giving me a hard sell in the middle of the freaking game for a DLC pack?" Oh, that pissed me off. So
I do have a question. I want to hear both of your guys' opinions on this. Which game company do you think is the worst at doing DLC? I want to say 2K. I do not like the way 2K does DLC. Never have.
Well, Todd's probably going to say EA, but I'll let him answer.
Actually, EA hasn't been as bad, especially concerning the Access program, which I've been very positive about. 2K
That's
is
true.
One of them. I'm willing to say Ubisoft as well.
Hmm.
Capcom, though,
yeah.
I know they've done that before.
Oh, God, Capcom.
And THQ, when they had the rights to was it THQ that had the rights to Metro 2033 before the fire sale? Was that Deep Silver?
No, Deep Silver got it.
Okay, I remember when Metro Last Light came out. They made Ranger mode as DLC.
Yeah, a hard mode. Yeah.
Deep Silver was the one that officially bought off of THQ. It was one of the earlier sales.
Yeah, but that was another example of that. I mean, when I heard about the Ranger mode being available, maybe that's why I didn't play Metro until I was able to pick up Redux. I was so mad about that.
Yeah. Well, some of the games that you play, Todd, though, that you really like Saints Row and stuff, they're, like, famous for having weird DLCs.
Yeah,
because
I know Saints Row 4 did that.
You can buy, like, a purple dildo or something?
I didn't really see. Well, they had, like, different packs. I mean, I know it's, like, the dubstep gun. I had, like, one version that played Ride of the Valkyries when I shot it. But I didn't buy that. I played it as part of what they called the Gat Out of Hell collection.
Okay.
It had, like, the Commander-in-Chief uniform. At least it had the all the expansions, Night Saints Save Christmas, and Enter the Dominatrix. And then the side alone mission called Gat Out of Hell. So at least they did that right with the missions. But
That's cool. Well, so I think we can I think we've explored kind of the DLC topic and also the Amiibo. And plus thank you, Todd, for going over Amiibo with me. I know how to do that. And who knows? Maybe if I ever get a Wii U, you know, I'm one of the holdouts on getting a Wii U. But like, the Wii U really had a whole slate of really good exclusive games.
I was gonna say that's why
year.
I picked up another one. I was very impressed with the lineup. When I sold my original one back in 2013, I was mad because everything got pushed back. Now it's coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bayonetta 2, Smash. Hyrule Warriors was okay. I got kind of tired of it after a while. But, Mario Kart 8, I mean, they really had a lot of good stuff coming out.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm actually more impressed with the exclusive lineup from the Wii U than I am with the PlayStation. Yeah. I really am. I'm really, really kind of disappointed with the, I'm really not seeing a lot of good exclusive stuff on the PlayStation. A few things here and there.
Yeah, that's why I
kind of
regretted buying it the first time. Yeah, I mean, I know I got a second PS4, but it was primarily because of MLB 15, so I'm a big fan of that series.
Right, and there's an exclusive, I guess.
Another option. The way GameFly can send me the right title if the Xbox One version is not available.
Right. That's cool. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for joining me today, and appreciate you guys not going at each other's throats too hard.
No one's that bad. I mean, we agreed on one thing: evolve.
Yeah, evolve. Yeah, I don't know. I was so thankful, Neil, that you did that review because it was on my list. Like, my wife was like, "Hey, what game do you want?" She's yes. like, and I'm thinking, I don't.
Well, for those who haven't read it, read it. Mm-hmm. Wow, we're hooked on grammar here at Gen. For those who haven't read it yet, my Evolve review posted recently. You can still find it on the website. Take a read. It's a lengthy article, mostly bashing the game because the graphics and audio were good, all things considering, but that game just loses it in gameplay and value. It doesn't make any sense why you're playing it or why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. The I put in according to my save game file, I put in 108 or 115 hours playing Dragon Age, which I really loved, and I had a good time. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe Evolve will be like that. And Neil's like, no, there's 0 hours of single player in Evolve. So, Todd, you had it for like
about
an hour
or two, and I was
total?
Like, screw this, I'm sending it back to Gamefly.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, until next time, Neil?
I was going to say, I'm going to be honest. We all play video games, you know, kind of skip to a different reality and have fun. I should not play a video game where after 20 minutes I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if I should go to college.
Maybe I should go do something else. The car needs washed. Guys, let us know, our listeners out there, let us know what you think about the DLC. Let us know if there's some good DLC, bad DLC. Our email address, which I keep forgetting to give out during the shows, is ginlounge@gameindustry.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, all those places. You can find us, Google+. Until next time then, guys, thanks again, Neil. Thanks again, Todd. And I hope that until next time, all of your DLCs are worthwhile and give you a lot of bang for the buck. We'll be right back.